And God's grace and peace dwell richly in your hearts this day. In Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Well, here we are at the beginning of another Holy Week. And during this week, during this time, we journey with Jesus. We walk with Jesus and his disciples through the streets of Jerusalem all the way to the foot of the cross, where though our sin stains us scarlet, is made white. White as snow in the blood of the Lamb. And it all begins here. Here on Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry, with voices raised and palm branches in the air, Jesus enters into the city like a conquering hero. For me, when I have this picture in my brain of this event, it's like this is like the scene from like an epic movie, right? Jesus is the hero, and he is coming in. And everybody is excited, and there's shouts of praise and hosanna and admiration from the crowd. And we're like, yes, here we go. Jesus, this is what we've been waiting for. We are ready. It's getting serious now. Right? This is a celebration. We anticipate this day. We anticipate getting to bring these loud shouts of hosanna and praise while waving palm branches in the air, just like all those people did all those years ago in Jerusalem as Jesus rode on a donkey through the streets of Jerusalem. And what's more is I think we should. This is a day to celebrate. I think it's fitting that we should celebrate. You know, I'm not one to minimize what we're doing here. I'm not going to stand up here and minimize the importance of what and whom we are celebrating this Palm Sunday, because this day is about Jesus. And this week is about Jesus. And yet, as we look at this picture of Palm Sunday, The loud shouts of praise and the palm branches and the cloaks on the ground, there's still in Jerusalem confusion about who Jesus is. And I think for us, as we look at this picture, it adds a certain amount of irony to this Palm Sunday celebration, to this triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Now, I'm sure irony has a number of working conditions explanations or definitions. The definition that I like for irony is it's an incongruity between appearance and reality. An incongruity between appearance and reality. And incongruity is not a word we use very often, except for the freshman high schoolers in the room who are in geometry class right now. If you remember back to your geometry lessons in high school, when things are congruent, this is the geometry equivalent of the equal sign, right? This is when the shapes or the polygons, I never understood that word, polygons, if all of their measurements and all of their angles are the same, they are congruent. Congruence means sameness, and incongruity is the exact opposite of that. Incongruity shows us when two things aren't the same. It shows us where they don't fit together. And on Palm Sunday, there's an incongruity between appearance and reality. There is a disconnect between what we think we see is happening and what is actually happening. What we see doesn't match reality. And it comes down to this question: who is Jesus? That's the important question today. Who is Jesus? What has he come to do? What is he all about? It's an important question today, and really any day. It's an important question specifically in our reading this morning from Matthew chapter 21. As we see Jesus come in through the crowds and they're excited and they're laying down palm branches and cloaks before him. They're saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Then at the end of that reading, we have a question. Who is this? Who is Jesus? And if you look down to verse 10 and 11, you see they have the wrong answer to the question. The question, who is Jesus? And they say, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth. This question is of paramount importance, not just for our reading, but for the entire Gospel of Matthew. This is what Matthew focuses on. Who is this man, Jesus? And as we see this celebratory entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem, what we see is that the celebration doesn't align with the reality of who these people say Jesus is. And if we want to know who Jesus really is, we need to just look back a couple more chapters. If we turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 16, we see Jesus who is with his disciples at Caesarea Philippi, and he asks them this very same question, who do people say that I am? And the disciples, they offer a couple of the gathering rumors. Well, Jesus, some say that you're John the Baptist. Still others are saying that you're one of the prophets. And then Jesus says, no, who do you say that I am? And Peter, good old Peter, always the first to open his mouth, and yet this time gets it right. Peter confesses, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's who Jesus is. Jesus, you are the Christ. You are the promised Messiah, the Son of God, who is on earth with us. And it seems, as we see this picture of the people in Jerusalem, it seems like they got that. It seems like they understand that as they're laying down their cloaks and their branches before him in honor of him. They even recognize that he's the Son of David. They come back to this prophecy in Zechariah 9. They say, you are the Son of David, the promised king. But then at the very end, they give a bad answer to the question. They say, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth. And Jesus is so much more than that. And so we have this irony on Palm Sunday where the appearances don't align with reality because the celebration itself is good and right and true, and yet the recognition is not there. And really, if you think about it, this whole picture of Palm Sunday itself is a little confusing anyways. It's a little bit in contrast to the whole rest of this Holy Week. This larger picture of what this week is and what it's all about. Because Jesus, as he is riding into town, as he's coming into Jerusalem, is coming to die. And so for me, my question is, what's the cause for celebration? Shouldn't we, instead of laying down cloaks and palm branches, be laying down our tears and sackcloth and ashes before him? But perhaps this picture of Palm Sunday has a little bit more irony to it. See, there's another disconnect here. And it's one that has to do not only with who Jesus is, but why he has come, what he has come to do. And if we look in the couple chapters leading up to Matthew chapter 21, Jesus couldn't be more clear of why he has come. If we turn back to Matthew 16, just after Jesus has this conversation with his disciples about who he is, he goes on from there in Matthew 16, verse 21, and it says, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed. If we move on to Matthew 17, verse 22, it says, as they were gathering in Galilee, Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is about to be delivered up into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And then once more, in Matthew chapter 20, just before Jesus and his disciples come into Jerusalem, just before this triumphal entry, Jesus says it to his disciples one last time. See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death. Three times, Jesus tells his disciples what's going on here. He says, tells his disciples why he's going up. He's coming to Jerusalem to give up his life, to die. And knowing that, as we look at this Palm Sunday celebration, it sure doesn't look like it. It sure looks like Jesus is something else. It sure looks like Jesus is this conquering king that they're expecting. That Jesus is this king that was promised to reestablish the kingdom of Israel, this mighty, mighty king. And that's what the people wanted. That's what his disciples wanted. But Jesus, he wasn't the king that they wanted, but the king that they needed. I think even today we often see Jesus as the Savior that we want rather than the Savior that we need. You know, I like to claim Jesus when things are going well. It's easy to claim Jesus when our lives are hashtag blessed, right? But what happens when things are different? What about when it seems like God's not there at all? What about when it seems like he's abandoned us? What about when it seems like he's not answering our prayers? Where's Jesus for me then? You know, I like Jesus insofar as he gives me the things I want. But beyond that, it gets a little bit harder. What do we make of a God that seems to let us wallow in our misery? What do we make of a God that seems to not care about the injustices of this world, or the injustices in our lives? This last week, we had our last Lenten service. And Pastor Dan was giving his message and preaching, and as I was kind of reflecting on these questions, he said something that just resonated for me that I think is so important for us to hear again and think about as we think about who God is and who Jesus is. And he said this: God's glory is made most manifest not in his might, but in his mercy. God's glory is made most manifest not in his might, but in his mercy. You see, God does care. God does care about sin and injustice in this world. God does care about the consequences of sin in our lives as we experience the hurt and pain in the world around us because of the sin in our lives. And that's why he sent Jesus. That's why Jesus came, to die and put an end to all of it. See, this Holy Week is all about coming to the foot of the cross where God abandoned his Son to die so that we could have forgiveness and life and freedom. And that's what we're celebrating on Palm Sunday. That's what we're celebrating. And it might seem a little ironic. It might seem like our celebration isn't fitting to the reality of what's going on, but in fact it does, because we are celebrating the glory of God as it has been made known to us in his salvation and mercy. We celebrate Jesus, who is the Christ, the Son of the living God, who's glorified not as in a mighty conquest, but he's glorified in his humble obedience to the foot of the cross, to die on a cross for you and for me. Jesus is the Savior that we need. He's the Savior that comes to us here. Jesus is here with us now. Jesus gathers with us here in worship. Earlier tonight, we gathered and tasted of the body and blood of Jesus and the grace and mercy that was won for us on the cross. We have tasted and we can see that the Lord is good. Today's a good day. Today is a day worthy of celebration. It's a fitting celebration. And it's fitting because we celebrate a God who has made his salvation and his mercy known to us. And that salvation and mercy is riding through town on the back of a donkey. And who is he? Who is this? This is Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God, who has come not as a conquering king who is demanding our fealty, but has come as a suffering servant who has won our love and our loyalty by dying on a sinner's cross for you and for me, that we might be free from the power of sin, death, and darkness in our life once and for all. And that is worthy of celebrating. Amen.